This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Hello, Vic.
Hi, Chad. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. And we've got so much to talk about today, some really interesting things. One thing that's, of course, very sad in respect of an expat that's passed away, which we're going to talk about towards the end of the insert. But let's start off with this trial date for Mal Khalifa. Let's just give a quick background as into who Mal Khalifa is for those that may not remember and why this new trial date is important.
Excellent questions. And just to provide some background, she was the principal of the Adas Israel ultra-Orthodox girls' school in Melbourne approximately a decade ago, and she was there for some time. And when it became apparent that she was due to be arrested on charges of sexual abuse, she very quickly left Australia and went off to Israel. And she was in Israel for several years, and this was despite many attempts, multiple attempts, by the Australian authorities for her to be extradited from Israel back to Australia to face justice. And it goes without saying that she's innocent unless proven guilty. So there were many attempts to have her extradited back to this country. So much so that prime ministers in both countries got involved, as in Bibi Netanyahu, who was PM at the time, and the prime minister here in Australia, who was Scott Morrison at the time, and both got involved, and as did a number of members of parliament, etc. So also the former Australian ambassador to Israel got involved. That really attracted high-level involvement because there were mainly, and the main protagonists are three sisters who were students at the school at the time, who are alleging that they were sexually abused by the principal at the time. After a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and multiple hearings and appeals against the hearing, etc., in Israel, she was finally extradited back to this country sometime last year in 2021, and is being held in a women's prison outside Melbourne. And since then, and in recent weeks, there have been a number of preliminary hearing. And now, just today, it has been announced that there will be a new court date for her. Initially, I should add that the court case was due to start at the end of last month, at the end of August. And now, just today, it has been announced that there will be a new date for her trial, which is February 7, 2023. So, still several months ago, obviously suggesting that the case is, I guess, more complicated than one might have thought. She is facing approximately 70 charges, that's 7-0, 70 charges of child sexual abuse during her time as principal of the Adas Israel School in Melbourne. And I said there are three sisters who are involved in this, involved as in making these allegations, and that the trial will be heard in a county court in Victoria, which is the state where Melbourne is, before Judge Mark Gamble. So it's major news in terms of this issue, which has been ongoing now for a decade. And those who claim to have suffered at her hands, obviously this is something which they have been waiting for trial dates to happen. And now it seems that there's a firm date which has been announced.
It's inherently difficult to extradite people from Israel, yet reciprocally we've seen other countries deport people to Israel that the Israeli authorities have asked for. South Africa is a case of point. There was a rabbi accused of sexual offences that hadn't occurred in South Africa, but he and his followers had made South Africa their home, and South Africa assisted the Israeli authorities in ensuring he was deported to Israel to stand trial. In similar matters, it's difficult to have somebody sent from Israel to another country. The Israelis are very, very pedantic about following rules and ensuring that the rights of an Israeli citizen or somebody who's made aliyah are in fact protected. And sometimes they go as far as to say that a court case should have been held in absentia, and that the person accused of the offence was found guilty where all evidence was presented and it was beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I can understand why it's taken a decade, but of course everybody wants to see a person in court, that they can have their day in court and that it can be ventilated correctly. There's no winners at this point in time. It's just a very, very sad, prolonged process. But thank you so much for that update. We're moving on to a story that's very distressing, and that is the fact that there's been a spate of anti-Semitic issues at leading Sydney schools. Tell us a little bit more about this, Vic.
So this has actually attracted significant attention in the mainstream media, as in Sydney Morning Herald, Sun Herald. And normally, these issues are reported in the Jewish media, and unless there's something major, they don't find their way to the mainstream press. And that's not the case in this current situation. And so there have been a number of schools named in this upsurge in anti-Semitic incidents. So at one Sydney high school, for example, a Jewish student was told by another that he would go back in time and become Hitler to, quote, hunt down his family and stop the bloodline. In another case, which is beyond chilling, a Jewish boy was shoved into a locker sprayed with deodorant to simulate a gas chamber. I mean, the mind boggles, while other students laughed and filmed the incident. And then there have been other reports at other schools of repeated incidents of Nazi salutes in front of, while in full school uniform, Nazi salutes in front of Jewish kids. Another report where a Jewish kid was called Jew and not by his name by other students, and this includes, as you just said rightly a moment ago, some of the top schools in Sydney, and just appalling content. Now, the good news, and I put good in quotes, is that the issue is being taken seriously by the schools, and leading educators and headmasters, et cetera, are on record as talking about how that they are taking these issues seriously and addressing them, and anti-Semitism can be tolerated, et cetera. But it's obviously hugely disturbing. And it just, while sadly, I mean, there's a reason why Robert Wistridge called his book The Longest Hatred. And sadly, it is The Longest Hatred and has been such for 2,000 years. This sudden upsurge is extremely concerning, and as I should mention, is not limited to high school. There has been a number of incidents in recent days on university campuses. One in Adelaide, which is down in South Australia, as well. And so, just really concerning, and it all happens at the same time that a recent academic study found widespread religious bullying affecting not only Jewish, but also Muslim, Hindu, and Christian students in Australian schools. So, very worrying and not good news at all.
Very disappointing to see discrimination rearing its ugly head. Good to see that the authorities are wanting to stamp it out and that mainstream media is reporting on it. In other words, they're sending out a zero tolerance for this. What would be nice is to see those that committed these acts held accountable. Moving on, a story close to home. A South African expat who made a massive contribution has passed away. Who is it and what happened?
Very sad story. So his name was Brian Sherman. And Brian and his wife, Jean, immigrated to Australia probably about 40 years ago, but both former South Africans, and came to this country. And Brian made an enormous contribution. And Brian just passed away yesterday. So this is in the heart of the press, as it were. And Brian got in. First of all, he was very successful in business in terms of funds management. And he and a cousin of his, name is Lawrence Goodman, were very successful in that. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm focusing on was his contribution to civil society. Sydney had the Olympic Games in 2000, so a while ago, 22 years ago, and Brian had a key role in the Sydney Olympic Organizing Committee in the finance area, and he was one of the key players. Brian then moved on and set up something called Voiceless, and this will speak very much to those who care deeply about animal rights. And Brian was a champion on animal rights, on animals which are dealt with cruelly, whether it's chickens in battery farms or cows which are mistreated, etc. And he made a major name for himself in terms of being a champion of animal rights. At the same time, he was a major philanthropist. And then beside all of that, so his wife Jean has had a very high profile art gallery in Sydney, here in Sydney, and with Brian's active support. And just this is not about Brian, but their son, Emil Sherman, is actually an Academy Award winner. He won the Oscar for his movie about that young Indian kid who got into a train, fell asleep, and ended up at the other end of India, and then a true story, and then went and tracked down where he came from, and he won an Oscar, an Academy Award for that.
That was an amazing story.
An amazing story. And that was, so Brian, and very sadly, obviously too young, he hasn't been well for some time now, and he passed away just yesterday, and having made an enormous contribution to civil society in this country. As I say earlier, former South African.
Well, from the Chai FM family, we wish the family in Australia a long life. Like you said, taken too soon, and somebody who contributed so significantly to his community in Australia, and his son who's contributed to the world in respect of that incredible movie that he made. Vic, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Good to chat to you, Jeff. Take care.
That was Vic with the Australian Report.